You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE, thank goodness, has closed its doors for another day, so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow. It's the double-header Dream Team edition with Nick Kunze from Sanlam Private Wealth, David Shapiro from Sasfin Securities, and Nick, as I always do, I need you to set the scene, but I'll do a bit of scene setting myself. US inflation came out, consumer price inflation this afternoon. For August at 8.3%. And okay, it peaked a couple of months ago at 9.1%, I think it was. But the important thing is that month on month it went up 0.1%. And even though petrol prices, or gas prices as the Americans call it, came down substantially over the period under review, the fact is that food prices, medical prices, accommodation prices have sort of almost offset the benefit from petrol prices coming down. And Nick, the market has hated it. S&P at the moment, 3.1% weaker on its lows.
Yeah, evening, gentlemen. No, that's exactly right. I mean, I think also, you know, coming into this number, I was certainly in the camp that I thought would the inflation print would be a little bit light. I was looking for maybe a surprise 7.9. Of course, that was not to be. And I think, you know, for me, just a reminder now, firstly, how sticky this inflation has been and how wrong the central banks have got it. Also, maybe a reminder for all of us that forecasting is it's really a mug's game, you know, trying to forecast what these inflation prints are going to do. But also, I think it was a little, quite a bit of waiting was put on this by market watchers who were saying this is the last sort of decent number we're going to get before the Fed meets next week, which might influence which way they lean. But given this number, I think you can certainly we need to prepare ourselves for more, maybe 75 point rate rises until this inflation is under control. So yes, risk assets taking a big knock today, and I guess understandably so. Really, it was definitely a surprise to the wrong side of inflation.
David and I were speaking yesterday, Nick, and David, you can come in on this one. We were saying, is it short covering this recent rally? I think it's been 4 days up in a row up until today for Wall Street. The JSE's been doing incredibly well, but we just thought, is it real? And I think, David, you can come in here. I think we were slightly skeptical about it. Not overly bullish, not overly bearish, but skeptical of the spiky nature of the recent rallies.
Yeah, I think that was the very that was a worry point that, you know, and admittedly, look, at 8.3, it's lower than it has been. I know the core inflation number was up, and there's a big expectation that those numbers that Nick has quoted, rentals and medical things, will start to level out and that inflation will come down in the months ahead. But I think the worry, and I just tweeted something now, I just said, hold on, you know, if markets can do this on a decimal point, of course, being a bit cynical, just stand back. In other words, don't try and master this market because it's just going to strip you bare. You know, where it comes out this morning, those indices that we're talking about, the US indices were, the futures were up. NASDAQ was up over 1%.
Yes.
And now we're minus 3. So from the heights, even though it was a futures market and I'm talking spot, I mean, the reversal has been mammoth. And, you know, from that point of view, no one could have called it. I'm with Nick as well. I've been quoting Howard Marks all the time and saying that, you know, that the forecasters get it wrong, all, you know, just keep getting it wrong. You can't rely on forecasts because I don't think there are any models that can actually bring in, you know, all these elements. So you've got to be very careful of what the consensus opinion is. So that's why it's just so difficult to read this market and to play this market and to know what to do. And I think it's just best you stand back. You know, we've been doing this for a long time. You know, I know Nick trades from time to time, but from a pure investment point of view, just stand back. Don't, you know, this is a storm that can go either way. Just don't get into the water. Just stay out of it. You know, lie on the beach.
Nick, what do you say? I mean, the VIX must be all over the place at the moment after a few days of going up, and then suddenly this thing, it must be about 25-26% at the moment. So the mood of the market, and also from a technical point of view, I don't know if Sanlam Private Wealth indulges itself in technical analysis, but the charts today have been destroyed. As David said, we were up this morning. Now we're substantially lower, 3% on the S&P. So it can't look very good for until the Fed meeting, I wouldn't have thought.
No, and just to give you some numbers, the VIX is actually 26.14, so you weren't far off. You're up almost 10 vol, what they call vol points on the day. As David said, we do this for a living, and we do position our client money and portfolios according to themes of the marketplace. And I think amongst the three of us, I know we've been very vocal over the months saying, we are preparing ourselves for high interest rate, higher inflation theme. And that's the way we are. We're not going to get too tied up in this, as David rightly points out, the white water. We're not going to get too caught up in the noise here on a one day to the next, because the swings are quite manic at the moment. But in general, this is the theme playing out. We've got central banks playing catch up. We've got inflation prints coming through. This was a little bit surprising to the upside, yes, but still looking for 8% is still eye watering when overnight rates are 1.5 and 1.75. So that theme is still playing out. And yes, it's going to continue to play out. And I guess at some point we'll get a surprise to the downside at some point. But for now, I'm not as lucky as David to go lie on a beach, but I take his point. Put my feet up and stare at Sanson car park and run the shopping centers. But this is just sit back. Because you're going to get these ruptures. And you know what? Next week we get another print that maybe surprises the downside. Who knows? But long term, interest rates are going up. And I think we all know that. And now it's a point of how quickly do they go up. That's the difference. And a number like today is a reminder that they probably do need to go up quicker than we would have liked.
The US 10-year Treasury bond yield, which was just above 250, I don't know how long ago that was. Nick, you're more of a numbers man than probably myself and David. Although, David, I'm doing you a disservice there. It's 3.44% at the moment. The recent high has been 3.495, I think. But the 250, so it went down from nearly 350 down to nearly 250, and now it's, closer to 350 than it's been for quite a while. This is a big market. This is not some sort of little fringe market.
We were around 346, 347 around about June, which was the depth of the market.
Yeah.
So we did bond yields. I'm talking the 10-year went up there. They did spike. All of them spiked. They came back and hit lows around about early August. And we've given a lot back. The 10-year, remember, went down to about 2.6 at the beginning of August.
253
actually. The end of July, And now a lot of it has come back. And that, the chart there looks like, hold on, you're going to test these levels, these June levels again. And, it depends. Unless Nick says you get some kind of other news coming out or another print or something like that, I think the market's going to be very twitchy.
What are people saying?
Just incidentally, I always like looking at what the Fed Fund futures, because they're pricing your probabilities. And, a week or so ago, they were pricing and maybe, more likelihood of 50. And of course, that jumped to 75. And I noticed after this inflation number now, they're now pricing in Fed futures a 17, although small, 17% probability of a 100 basis point hike at the meeting on the 20th to 21st. Yeah. So big jump in inflation expectations. But once again, from one day to the next, you are going to have these big swings.
And Nick, you speak to lots of people, lots of counterparties and people overseas, and as you call them, your clever people in Cape Town. What are people saying about the volatility and about the general trend? Because to me, the trend is still sort of cautiously lower to me. It's not quite a bear market.
You mean as in equity markets?
Because that's your main business and David's as well.
Look, I'm not calling a recession. I don't think that we're there yet, and I think given what we're seeing around the world with unemployment numbers in America specifically, and the world is still growing reasonably okay. So I'm not calling a recession. I mean, I'm quite frankly, I'm in the camp that I think the Fed could, they might have got this one right. They might be getting a little bit of a soft landing. We might get there. I'm not calling a sort of a big crash. The point being, Lindsay, I think, you know, given what all the indicators are, I still think you need to be in equities. You know, inflation is clearly a concern today. I mean, it is straight back, you know, it's rampant in front of your eyes. We have rampant inflation. And if you want to outperform inflation and you want to have real rates, outperform real rates, you've actually got to be in equities. So the equity theme is still intact. I just think it is quite narrow. And of course, there's a fine line, because if higher rates doesn't engineer a soft landing and we get a hard landing, then you can't be in equity. So it's starting to get a little bit of a balancing act here, but I'm not in the camp of a recession. I just think you still got to be in equities, but I think it's a bit of a narrow approach going on until things change. I'm still reasonably okay with the market.
I'm just worried that people are getting...
I don't know if you want to comment, David. I mean...
Yeah, go on, David.
You know, on that, Nick, we haven't been in the market for a long time. I haven't been in the market the whole year. The only transactions I've been doing might be cleaning up some portfolios where we decided to switch things around, get out of China where we had exposure, but never committing in a large way to this market. Just being very, very cautious. And I think it's come through in our conversations. I'm with you on equities. When I look at the numbers, there's still some very good numbers being produced. I think also we just have to get this into perspective. You know, the inflation print was 8.3 versus the market expected 8.1. It wasn't 10.6 or, you know, 15. It wasn't mad. Mm. It is coming down. The problem is that the pace is not coming down as fast as everyone expected. And as you mentioned with those other numbers, you know, there's expectation that those medical numbers would go down. And if you start to look at all the new leases being written now, they're certainly lower than they were. You know, I think property prices are coming down simply because interest rates are going up and discouraging people from buying. I don't think there's a mad, wild property market in the US or wherever. So just, you know, you just got to take a step back. That's why I'm saying the way that the market's reacting, okay, you know, that's how markets respond. They go wild, but I don't think the trend is necessarily destructive. You know, it's not. So they'll put it up 75 basis points, and we'll see. It might be another 75 basis points down the line. You know, and no one really knows. I'm not that, you know, I'm not that kind of worried. I just, okay, another day at the office. You know, this is what happens. Mm. You work in markets. You just got to be able to absorb this.
David, you were supposed to fly to America tonight and be our man on the ground.
Yes.
You're going to be flying tomorrow night. But I know what you do. You go around. You go to coffee shops and you go to restaurants and you go to grocery stores and things like that. But you also gauge the mood there, because it's people that drive inflation. I mean, obviously OPEC drives inflation as well, and the wars and natural gas prices drive inflation. But I want you to do a little bit of hard work on the ground there in between, you know, whooping it up as you
just do. It's funny. I had a very good conversation this morning with a consumer staples analyst, you know, offshore.
Mm.
And it was quite interesting to gather their approach. And they're very positive on this, simply that they haven't seen a major collapse in pricing pressure. In other words, a lot of the well-known staple companies, a staple company, for those who don't know, would be something like a Nestle's or a British American Tobacco or an AB InBev, you know, those kind of businesses. And the big brands have been able to pass on price increases, and they haven't necessarily seen a big collapse in volumes. So they remain quite positive on those companies in this kind of environment. For them, this is the dividend payers. This is the defensive play. And you know, just talking this morning, I mean, against before this, there was no stress that we were going to see the kind of movements now. So, I mean, outside of what we're seeing, the volatility in the market, I think most analysts, you know, most – and I say most strategists recognize that maybe the analysts are a little too optimistic, but on the other hand, one doesn't have to be violently pessimistic. So I think there's a midpoint, and that's why I'm very reluctant to get out the market despite, you know, these kind of movements that we're seeing now. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't push me to run for the hills and generate cash. I still think we, down the line, we're going to get surprises, and they'll be probably positive surprises.
Nick?
Yeah, and I think just to add to what David's saying, you know, that whole idea of what we do and sort of trying to understand the theme of a market and how you go with the flows up and the flows down or whatever have you, and how you sort of tweak it a little bit. And David mentioned that the fact that, you know, a little bit of rejigging with China and a few things. You know, if you had that inflation theme at the start of the year, you know, typically we've spoken at denim on the show about it. You know, you'd have a little bit of financials. You'd certainly have some banks. You'd a bit of commodities. You wouldn't be too much into high growth because, you know, the higher rates is not good for high flying tech, etc. You'd actually be okay right now. You know, even with notwithstanding what we've seen today, you'd be fine. That's kind of what it was meant to do. And you don't want to get, and for long term investors, if you've got that sort of portfolio, that's what you want to do. But again, we've said this a few times again on the show. You know, you've got to what worked a year ago is not going to work this year. You know, there has been a sea change. We've gone from zero rates. We've gone from easy monetary stimulus has been exited, and that provided an opportunity, and it provided an opportunity to position yourself into this new paradigm, this new world. We're heading into up higher rates, and need I say it, a bit of getting back to normal rates to where they should be, and positive bond yields, etc. A little bit of normality coming back, and I think it's good for all of us. You know?
Yes, I think so. Stability. Yeah, you're quite right. I mean, inflation coming down, rates going up, somewhere they'll meet in the middle, and everyone will be happy, savers and investors. But, you know, this massive gap. I mean, when we look back at this, I mean, Nick, you'll be, Bodhi will produce you, and your other son will produce you grandchildren. You'll sit down and you'll say, this is what happened. I was speaking to David Shapiro and Lindsay Williams, and rates were zero or negative, and inflation was 8-9%. It couldn't happen, and this is – you know what I mean? We'll look back and we'll say it was as plain as the nose on your face, and as plain as the nose on your face at the moment is the rand, which is 17.38. It was 17.04 this morning. British pound against the rand is 20.05. Euro rand – 17.39. Euro dollar is par 08, and it was, well, Monday morning, it was 102 and a bit. So the euro's resurgence has been short-lived. The gold price is 17.05, down $23 per ounce. The platinum price is down 5 to 8.98. Palladium, it's all over the place, this thing. 120, I'd love to be a palladium trader. $125 down to 2,134, or 5.5%. Now, the oil price as well, which had a big influence on the US CPI data today. I just have to keep on refreshing my screen with this thing because it's, there we go, $92.88, which is down 1.2% for the Brent. The West Texas is $87.30, which is down just over 0.5%. Natural gas prices are up 0.6%. And elsewhere, nothing much to talk of. Let's talk about the US 10-year, 3.437 to be precise. I'm going to call it 344, just a few basis points away from recent and multi-year highs. The South African 10-year, it's okay. It's behaved beautifully. It's 10.19. People coming for South African bonds. That's very surprising. I thought that would be 10.35, 10.40 with the rand weakening so much. But 10.19.5, barely changed on the day. And what else have we got? We have to mention Bitcoin, otherwise I'll get into trouble. 6.2% weaker to 20,923. And S&P 500 futures at the moment, the low has been 4,000, and they're currently 4,002. I'm rounding up and down here. 3.1% weaker. Yeah. Horrible.
And NASDAQ down 4, I must mention. So there's your high-flying tech getting hit hardest with the rising yields.
Don't say that to David, because he's a fan. And quite rightly so. Served him well over the years.
You know, the strange thing is that when you look through our portfolios, I mean, they're not – Yeah, we've got tech, but I mean, it's not solely tech.
Not full out.
Not full out. It's not 100% tech. I just like the theme, and I mean, I continue the theme. But they're themes within themes, you know. So I mean, but we're still very heavily in health, and we're in renewable energy, and you know, companies around that, and good companies. So I'm saying, but from that point, and also, there's tech and tech. They're the big money producers from Microsoft, and then you've got DocuSigns and Shopify.
Yeah. I mean, Microsoft with its whatever hundreds of or Apple with how many hundred Apple, billion cash compared that to a Snap. I mean, exactly right. Not all tech is the same, definitely.
You know what I'm saying.
Keep going.
Sorry.
No. I was going to give you the list of the downers and the uppers on my little screen here, carry on.
There's one point that I want to say to Nick, you know, because I was talking to Lindsay last night, and we had a presentation in the morning from UBS, and I enjoy UBS, and I like their CIO of us in Europe. And one of the areas that they were recommending was exactly high yielding bonds, you know, and sovereign bonds, in other words. And they said, and at that stage, they recommending the 10-year U.S. bond, which they see, and I'm going to quote, it was 3.36 yesterday, and they see it below 2% into 2023. So you know what I'm saying? That's
really that's a their big call.
I know. No, I'm saying I'm not, you know, I found that very surprising, because everything else in the presentation was very cautious, very conservative, in line with what we're seeing now. You know, I always say, no fun until the Fed is done. You know, that's the theme that one of the analysts has had, and I like that, you know, no fun until the Fed is done. And they were very conservative all along the line until it came to these bonds. And I found that a very strong call. And I'm saying, okay, so if they see, you know, in other words, if they see inflation coming down, that could also be a result of a slowdown in the economy, slowdown in the labor market, all of those. In other words, forecasting that you're going to have a much tighter economy or a slowdown in the economy. But I mean, if the yields fall like that, you know, that's a big call. So
I also think, David, it also highlights the broadness of the different views across there. You know, from one highly rated Swiss investment bank to another Swiss investment bank. You know, the views are quite broad. I mean, from a call of an overnight 10-year note at that level compared to what I've seen elsewhere too. So it also just adds into, I think, the uncertainty certainly of the marketplace by the professionals. Yeah. You know, it's difficult.
But you've got to be brave. You know, I mean, yesterday that was 3.36. Today is 3.43. So you've got to have faith. You know, that inflation is going to come down. They are going to master it, and they're going to get on top of it. And but it's a bit nerve wracking at the moment. So I mean, the same in the equity market.
I do think inflation is definitely rolling over. I'm definitely in the camp. Inflation's not going to be 8.3% in December. You know, there's absolutely no chance. It can't be. I mean, it will be, but it might just be a little bit stickier. That's what we're seeing here. But inflation will come in. It's just a matter of, I guess, conflicting views of how quickly it's going to come down and how quickly the Fed has to and central banks have to raise rates.
It's interesting, David, that you mentioned it's a mug's game being a forecaster, and yet there's a particular Swiss bank that you favour. Is that because they are more right than wrong as opposed to the others?
Forecasting is a mug's game. But what you can get is the direction right. Do you know what I mean? You might not it's whether you're forecasting to the second decimal point or something like that. But what you can get is the correct direction. And that's even if it doesn't come down to 2%, you know, even if it comes down to 2.5% or something like that, it's still a very big call. And you know, that's what I'm pointing. Put it this way, they don't see it at 5%. You know, they don't see it at 4%. So they do see that direction that, listen, rates are high at the moment, but by this time next year, they'll be significantly lower. What that's going to be, I don't know. You know, that's all. So I'm more interested in the direction that they, you know, that, and it's quite a big, you know, if it's not 2%, even if it's slightly higher.
Let's have a look at some of the movers on the JSE now, gentlemen. Okay. I mean, on the upside, you've got you've got Alphamin up 2.3%, yeah. Massmart up 1.25%. So, but otherwise, it's rats and mice. On the downside, and Nick, you will embellish this with a few of yours as well. Discovery down 5%, Transaction Capital down 4.75%. David, you've spoken about this one quite a lot, and of course they had that capital raising the other day. Capitec down 4.3%, Harmony a 4.1% loser, and Old Mutual down 4%. Below those, Nick, or in between those, there must be quite a few more.
Yeah, well, I mean, all the interest rate sensitive, isn't it? I mean, it's all the consumer-facing stocks under pressure. I'll throw in there as well, Cashbuild down 4.29%. You've mentioned Capitec as well. Uh-huh. In property funds, so your property shares also down 4.6. So all your interest rate sensitive, as expected with a move in yields this big, even though it is globally. You're seeing that today.
Mm. Okay, can you give us the closing indices, please, Nick, and also the Live Wall Street and Value Traded and all those good and bad things?
Yeah, okay. So, look, it's not a pretty day to report back, but it is what it is. The numbers are 2.15% down. That is your JSE All Share. Just to put things in perspective, don't feel so bad. Year to date, the All Share, not even double digits. We're down 7.3%, which actually I'd say is actually not a bad result, all things considered. Yeah. Top 40 tradable index, that is currently, well, it's closed down 2.25%, 1,400 points, 61,706. Nothing in the green, gents. We'd be led across the board. Utilities down 0.34, energy down 1.4, tech down 1.58, healthcare down 2%, real estate down 2.09, and as you mentioned, your interest rate sensitive. So industrials down 2.25, and financials, the biggest lagger on the day, down 2.7%. Live Wall Street, we are on the lows of the session. Tech-heavy NASDAQ down 4% now. Mm. We have the Dow Jones Industrial a little faring better, but still 2.6% lower. That's 840 points down. And the big one, the S&P 500, has battled to hold on. It couldn't hold on to the big handle. It is below 4,000 by 2 points. 3,000, well, actually more, 15 points. 3,985. So it is technically, it looks like it's breaking down a bit. Value traded today, just over 20.6 billion value. So a little bit more than average. But overall, it's a tough day in the office today.
David, thank goodness for the UEFA Champions League tonight. Football is back.
One or two games.
Oh, goodness me. There's some huge ones.
Are there
ones.
More games?
Oh, no, tonight you've got Bayern Munich against Barcelona.
Oh, okay.
And Ajax against Liverpool. I mean, those are the two standout fixtures.
Yeah.
I mean, Tottenham are playing as well. It's all good. And David, please have a safe trip to the United States, and we look forward to your on-the-ground, tire-kicking analysis the next time that we speak.
Yeah, I was going to talk on Thursday night, but I'm only leaving tomorrow, so I won't be there for Thursday.
That's okay.
I'll pick up with you on Monday.
Mm. Yeah, jolly
Monday
good.
Or Tuesday. Yeah.
Gentlemen, thank you very much for your time. Nick Kunzer is from Sandland Private Wealth. David Shapiro is from Sasfin Securities, and that was the 5 o'clock shadow. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.